Support this podcast via our Patreon and get more writerly goodness. Visit patreon.com/nanocast to join up.
Welcome to The Everyday Novelist. My name is J. Daniel Sawyer, author of 24 books, 34 short stories, and countless articles and scripts and essays, and I am your guide on this quest to raise your output to pulp speed levels and to explore the cracks and crevices of business and craft in the writing life.
Welcome to The Questions, episode 441. Hey everybody, I was looking at the podcast stats the other day, and I've noticed that we have a very good core group of loyal listeners of about 200 people on this show. And that is fantastic. So it's a big enough group that we get a good variety of questions that keeps the show fresh and new. But it's bad in that the audience is small, and it's small enough that it's likely to stagnate after a while. Those of you that are listening every day, and you're obviously getting value out of this podcast, and so I wanted to ask, as a personal favor, especially if you're not a patron, if you could recommend this podcast to your friends. Do a Facebook post, a blog post, featuring one or two of your favorite episodes, write a review on iTunes, anything you can do. I would really like to grow the listenership of this podcast, because those of you who are here are obviously getting good value out of it. I'm having a fantastic time doing it, and I would love to reach more people with it. So if you are so inclined, if you could leave a review, write a blog post, do both, point to it on Facebook or Twitter from time to time, I would really, really appreciate it. And if you do write any articles or criticisms or reviews and want me to know about them, link me to them, I would love to read them because, hey, I might find ways to make the show better based on what you say. And it doesn't have to be critical for me to find things like that. In positive reviews, I find things that people like that I don't do much, and I start doing more of them if it's something I can find room for in the show. I'm always looking to make this better, and this show is in its third year because of you guys. I would love to keep this going indefinitely. It is a real bright spot in my day, even when everything else in the world is kind of dark. So thank you very much for listening. And now here is your regular daily dose of my particular brand of writerly insanity. Today Ian says, regarding the whole third-person omniscient point of view thing, I was intrigued by what you said, but don't want to get too academic. Is there a writer-level theory as to why third-person objective seems to have fallen out of favor around the 80s in a lot of genres? Or were people scared off by MFA instructors, the technical difficulties, or just fashion? Well, Ian, I know a little bit about this, so I can venture a couple of writer-level theories. One of them is that throughout the 70s, there was a lot of talk among writers, and I've read some of their letters to each other, expressing frustration with the same old thing. There was a generally accepted way to tell a story, the third-person omniscient, and when you got away from that, it felt like you met resistance, or they didn't know quite how to handle it, or they were just tired of the same form. It was a reliable form, they liked it, but, you know, it was the same form. And it wasn't that first-person or third-person subjective didn't exist, it's just that they weren't as popular, and they weren't as widely accepted as the proper way to do things. So there was a lot of experimentation going on, especially in genre circles in the late 70s and early 80s. Part of that was that there had been a lot of experimentation with those things in literary fiction in the 60s and 70s, and it started to roll into the genre on a delayed basis. And you also had some of those early experiments in the 60s and 70s, particularly with people like Harlan Ellison in science fiction and Ursula Le Guin. They'd do some of that stuff a lot earlier on. But the general falling out of fashion sort of followed on from that frustration of writers. But if it was just the frustration of writers, it wouldn't have been enough. There was obviously a public hunger at that point for stories told in new ways. Anytime you get an upswing in the economy, people start seeking novelty. And there was definitely an upswing in the world economy in the 80s. So I suspect that had a lot to do with it, too. The other thing that was happening at the time was that you had, in America at least, you had the mainstreaming of all the Vietnam vets. You know, they'd come back in the 70s, they'd worked their way back in, and now they were old enough that they were having kids, they were becoming a major block in the economy. And a lot of what happened in the 60s, whether it was at home or abroad, was very, very culturally subjective. It was a time of rejecting the notions around the objective nature of reality and the proper way to do things, and radically repersonalizing culture. Well, by the time this generation that did that got into their prime consuming years, cultural consumption years, tend to be a later stage in books, at least, than consumption in the rest of the economy. They got into their main consuming and producing years. That sense of radical subjectivity bled into all the art and became sort of a main motivator. So you had television shows that were based around the understanding of very difficult points of view and subjects. And a lot of these were pioneered by people like Don Belisario, Glenn Larson, Stephen Baccio, and Steve Cannell. They were all masters of inventing and producing shows that were very idiosyncratic and non-universal. It was a new thing on television. The A-Team, Quantum Leap, Magnum P.I., Hill Street Blues, and also Norman Lear, who had actually started doing his thing in the 70s. In Norman Lear's shows, he took the particular and the subjective points of view and universalized them in his comedies. The other producers I've named did it the other way around. They took the universal and particularized it. So in the A-Team, you get good versus evil, but through the eyes of a group of mercenary criminal vigilantes who are lots of fun and always beat the system. And that was a Steve Cannell. In Quantum Leap, you had Sam Beckett leaping from person to person. His main stated goal was to finally leap back home. But really the point of the series was he got to leap out of someone's life once he understood it enough to help change it in a way that would be positive for them. So it was all about understanding the individual and their particular points of view. And I think that that broader cultural movement is what really dethroned the third-person objective narration in the 80s and made it into much more of a niche skill. Third-person objective is more technically demanding in many ways because we learn first-person first, and because we come from a culture that is hyper-individualized and hyper-particularized, unlike any culture in the history of the world, almost. And we consume cultural artifacts that reinforce that orientation of looking at things. So the notion that there is a God's eye view of the world where you can see everything that's going on, that's kind of radical. That's fallen out of fashion. That was the default Enlightenment view, which is why the third person omniscient was so accepted. You were attempting to describe the world as it really was, even if it was a fictional world. When that notion finally shook out at all levels of the culture and people stopped believing in kind of a basic way in that sort of God's eye view, the demand for fiction from a God's eye point of view started to ebb as well, because people could more instantly connect on a worldview level with the hyper-particularized subjective points of view. And I think that's probably why it fell out of favor. And I think the reason that people are starting to return to it now is that we've hit an end of a pendulum swing, or we're starting to hit the end of a pendulum swing, where everything is so fragmented that there is a cultural hunger growing for unity and a universal perspective. And that's why that's starting to get more traction, and I'm starting to get more questions about it. Anyway, that's my theory. Hope it answers your question. Thanks for sending it in, and I'll see you tomorrow.
The Everyday Novelist is written and presented by J. Daniel Sawyer and is produced by Artistic Whispers Productions. Visit our website at everydaynovelist.com and leave a tip in the tip jar or join the Patreon to support this podcast. The Everyday Novelist is copyright 2017 J. Daniel Sawyer and Artistic Whispers Productions, Inc. and is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives License.